Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Saturday.
Oh my God.
And I'm still rolling around the house after Thursday.
Literally.
Turkey.
Yeah, literally.
All the turkey.
Oh my gosh. In the room today, we got producer Zach.
Hi, how are you?
the lovely Amber.
Hi, guys.
And my buddy Steve Silva. And I am your host, Sean Roberts. And together we are your Weekly Dose podcast.
Yes, we are.
And as always, we're streaming to you live from Orange County every damn Saturday morning.
Woo!
Well, thank you for joining us this week and every week as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian, with the hopes of getting them into the Radio Hall of Fame next year. So they deserve it. Yeah. For those who have recently followed us, thank you for joining the family. We are so glad you listened to the show.
Oh, absolutely, guys.
People listen to us?
They do, and we got more listeners. It's growing and growing and growing.
That's awesome.
So I'm loving it. We got a very cool special episode for you guys today. Of course, we're playing Christmas Is My Time of Year by the Monkees. And they're touring again.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Are they coming out here?
Yes, Mike and Mickey will be coming out. And I think they're going to be hitting out one of the casinos out in, like, towards Temecula or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So, but they'll be out here. So, looking forward to that. Of course, we got a Mark and Brian Pass moment. We got Paul Preston doing movie reviews with us. We even have our own pocket-sized cinema for you guys.
Yes.
And we'll be talking about small business facts. Holiday shopping. Has it changed over the years? And how has it changed for us individually? And sex during the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, we got a special Mark and Brian tradition later on towards the end of the show as well.
That's right. I know you want to... No, don't forget, Amber, that you can interact with the show.
Yes, yes, you can.
Commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And don't forget to rate us and follow us.
Rape us?
Rate.
Oh,
that's just you, Zach. Don't talk about that.
Well, not only can you download the show for free from our Amazon website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and now Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, just like that. And that's what happens every time you do log on to one of those. And most importantly, as Amber said, don't forget to rate and review the show as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's what we're all here for.
I haven't had enough tea yet.
Oh.
Why do you think I drink these every Saturday morning?
I know. I might need to switch to full throttle.
I think so.
My kidneys might fail, though.
Yeah.
Yikes. Are we ready?
For Amazon?
Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Are we actually
apparently
ready now?
You were premature.
Well, because I keep thinking about shopping. All I want to do is shop. So, as always, we need to give a shout-out to our sponsor, Amazon, because without them, we could not do this show for all of you. And they have been with us since day uno.
That's right, co-host for the week.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I think I just got fired by Steve.
I think so.
Even after last week's performance from you?
Yeah, I'm making up for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's no better place to go shopping than Amazon. They have everything. So get what you want by shopping on Amazon. Just remember to, everybody, use our banner.
How do you do that? It's simple. All you need, that's all, folks. All you need to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on our Amazon banner and bookmark it. That way, every time you do want to shop on Amazon, you use the bookmark link, and by doing so, you help the show stay on the air.
Amber has this commercial so screwed up, nobody can do it right.
Exactly. Yeah. All
listen,
right.
Just
yeah, you get all your shopping done without crowds, and this week's product, I keyed in Amazon Cyber Monday, and it came up with the Echo. So they've got, like, all different Echoes, generations, styles, models, all the different types. But they do have the Echo Show Generation 2 for $150.
Not bad at all. That
Not
sounds pretty
bad.
Good.
So Amazon.
You know, the Echo scares me. So if you're going to do all of your shopping online, there's only one place to go, yourweeklydose.com, to use our Amazon banner to get the job done, all of your holiday shopping.
And remember, when you use our Amazon banner, you help support the show. Amazon, work hard, have fun, make history.
Alrighty, guys. Well, you know, with Mark and Brian, they did so many different skits and bits and everything, and one of the ones that were my favorite was a long-standing one called Big City. And, of course, it was just two country bumpkins basically talking about it and whatever the subject may be. I think one of the most famous ones is the Big City Tongue Twister. So
we hate ye.
Yeah, exactly. And so I decided to find one. I found one about Thanksgiving and everything, so I thought we would play this one. So this one, what's it, Big Slice of Turkey, I think it is, or something like that?
Big Sliced Smoked Turkey.
So here we go. Mark and Brian, past moment, Big City.
It's now time for another episode of Big City Thinly Sliced Smoked Turkey. Now, you listen up there, Big City Thinly Sliced Smoked Turkey, and you listen up good. Now, folks around here don't take too kindly to you Big City thinly sliced smoked turkey breast coming down here and providing the basis for a delicious and nutritious sandwich.
Damn it, Big City thinly sliced smoked turkey. Last thing we need is some Big City thinly sliced smoked turkey coming down here and satisfying the appetites of people hungry for juicy, mouth-watering deli meats.
You hear what he said there?
You hear what he said?
Mm-hmm. Now, you and your Big City dextrose, your Big City sodium phosphate, your Big City tryptophan that makes people have to take a nap like an SOB, you're such a tasty luncheon meat that you just need to leave, Big City thinly sliced smoked turkey. You just need to leave.
Bologna and pastrami don't have nothing on you, Big City thinly sliced smoked turkey.
Nothing.
You taste great on a sandwich or straight out of the resealable package that keeps you fresh and moist for weeks on end. But you need just get on back to that Big City right now.
You need to get on back here. You need to get on back, Big City.
You Big City thinly sliced smoked turkey.
Now, it's your subtle mesquite flavoring that makes you so irresistible, you know. You Big City thinly sliced turkey. And the fact that you're inspected for quality by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Sure, that don't hurt. But that just ain't enough, is it?
You might be 98% fat-free, Big City thinly sliced smoked turkey. But what about that other 2%?
What about it?
What about that other 2%?
You know something, Big City Sliced Smoked Turkey? Big City Thinly Sliced Smoked Turkey have funny way of getting packaged by Carl Buttig.
Get packaged by Carl Buttig.
Tune in again next time for another episode of Big City Thinly Sliced Smoked Turkey.
It is what it is.
There you go. And as it should be.
Breaky. Okay.
Oh, wow. You like that one?
It was confusing to me.
Well, you've heard the Big City Tongue Twister one, though,
big
right?
Big City.
Yeah, the Big City series.
Big City.
Oh, they were so good. We got more of those. So.
God, that tongue twister one is still the golden one.
The tongue twister is the best.
Brian
I like
drops
the turkey
the F-bomb.
One.
Yeah, well, the tongue twister is historical because
is it? Okay.
Because Brian drops the F-bomb.
A
by
bunch?
Accident.
On accident.
Oh,
on accident.
Oh, okay.
Totally
yeah.
on accident.
Once? Okay.
Totally on accident.
But it is true. Big City people do like their meat very thin.
And we hate them.
Country folk like it thick.
Hate
Big City thinly smoked.
Well...
Slice.
One thing we don't hate, though, is a very damn good looking movie critic by the name of Paul Preston.
Paul Preston.
He's a big city guy, but we like him.
We
like him so much.
He's not thinly sliced.
We like him so much that we'll even go see a comedian with him and his wife.
That's right. That's right.
Wait, I wasn't invited.
You were. You couldn't go. You said, I'm busy.
Oh, I do. I do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so.
I'm so busy.
Paul Preston, how are you, brother?
Well, hey, how are y'all doing there?
We's
hey,
doing
decent.
Fine.
We's doing good.
Say hi to Emma Lou.
and Billie Jean.
Right,
she's not my girl.
Oh,
yeah. Last night we had to, I got to say this, we spent the night with Paul and his wife, Karen. We went to go see our friend Craig Shoemaker. And we just had a blast at Flappers last night. Did Karen really enjoy herself, though?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, you know what's weird is that guy, Craig looks like, and now, yeah, I know, I've always known what he looks like, but now that he's older, he's evolved into what a really good friend of mine from college would look like if that friend got his shit together. So it was fun watching that go, oh, man, Mike, this would be Mike if Mike, because Mike would be hilarious if he just, you know, stop the nonsense. But,
oh dear.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Well, yeah.
Well, good. I'm so glad she enjoyed herself. You know, I've always talked about Craig. You know, both Steve and I have talked about him. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why, you know, we went last night too is because I wanted to introduce you guys to him in regards to his laughter heals. And the fact, and he discussed it last night too during his act, about, you know, just how laughter can cure so many different things. And of course, with Karen dealing with her pancreatic cancer and everything. And I got to say, your wife was a trooper last night, man, because she was doing chemo while we were there. She had her little pump and everything going on and her mask. And every so often I would look over to see if she was smiling, and she was wearing a mask, so it was kind of hard to tell.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had a great time.
You know, but every once in a while I would hear her laugh, you know, going, okay, all right, she's
good,
doing good.
Good.
She's doing good. So, yeah.
She also has this thing where she kicks her head back with a smile, and it kind of, there's this silent laugh. It's just kind of like a, and you look over and the hands in the air, you know, it's like, okay, she's loving it.
Oh, that's good. And yeah, and she, we were able to meet and talk to Craig afterwards too, and he was very surprised that we were there. And it was very nice though, and I told him why and everything, and so he definitely wanted to meet both you and Karen after the show. So
and I came home, I jumped on laughterheals.org and checked everything out, signed up on the mailing list, so we'll find out where they're having events and things like that, because we're definitely down with that. I mean, we make each other laugh all the time, so maybe there's a group we can get involved in, and maybe we could even contribute, you know, as performers to events they do or something. You know, saying, look, we're dealing with this, and we're still not just laughing like he encourages, but even maybe making people laugh. So.
Yeah, and that's a great thing about his organization. I know Craig is pretty much open to a lot of different things, so I know you guys got his number and everything last night. So, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. And it was just so nice to spend time with you guys, too, you know, away from the show, too, as well.
Yep, and you know, I haven't been getting out to a lot of movies, but I've seen some.
Yeah,
and so anytime out is a good time.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of those movies, buddy. A lot of people have been talking about this one, Ford versus Ferrari.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
I mean, Ford, I'm a Chevy man myself, but I was really wondering about this one.
I grew up like that, and listen, that's what the movie's kind of about. It's like you know, you grow up with Fords and Chevys, and they're kind of a complacent family car, and Henry Ford the second, Henry Ford's son, in, you know, after a while just kind of got tired of looking at all the European cars being so sexy, and he wanted one of his own. He wanted to win a big race like Le Mans, so Lee Iacocca was working for him at the time, played by John Bernthal, who's always great. And he brings in Carroll Shelby has his own automotive group that's played by Matt Damon. And he's got this wild card driver, Ken Miles, played by Christian Bale. And they're all going to work together to try and get a Ford to win one of these big European races. Specifically, Le Mans is what Henry Ford wants to win. And beat Ferrari, you know. So it's kind of it's an interesting plot, because after a while you realize, wow, I don't want anyone to win. Like, Ford is such a big company that you're like, wait, I like the little guys, but they're working for the big company. And they're taking on the other big company, who are full of assholes. So it's an interesting sort of way that the plot somehow still works, because in the end, you really are just rooting for Carroll Shelby and Ken Miles, the two mm-hmm. guys who are at the bottom of rungs of the ladder, mm-hmm. because they're the ones who are making the car that's going to win. And that's another interesting thing about this movie, is you see a lot of movies about race car drivers. This is one of the first ones to really go into the details of why the car wins these races, and not just the driver. So, and what I love is all that I'm describing about this sounds like it might not be fascinating, and yet it is.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask you, is that, I mean, you know, Ron Howard did a film a few years back regarding Formula One racing. You know, we saw Tom Cruise, Days of Thunder, which was basically Top Gun on wheels. You know, we've had the animation Cars, three of those movies come out and everything. And so when you get a story like this, and then I remember also was it Tucker a few years, you know, a number of years back mm-hmm. also, you know, some of these, they kind of like, they're okay. They're just an escape away kind of thing. But how does this story compare to others about real life car stories, though? You know, like what has actually happened? Does it uphold, or do you think they had to make it a little bit more interesting, or what?
Well, first of all, you pile on the great lead performances. I mean, for me, I think Matt Damon could do anything. I think he's one of our most believable leading men. In whatever genre you stick him in, he's viable, I think. Sci-fi with The Martian, you know, or a love story, or some historical drama.
We just bought a zoo. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, they can't all be winners. But
hey, that was a good performance. I cried in that one.
Really? You're the guy.
No, not really.
Sarcasm.
But I went to see it, because if he's in it, you got to see it. You got to see what he's doing. He makes good choices most of the time, and so it's at least worth checking out whether he hit or missed. Yeah. And so this was, I mean, and then Christian Bale, I don't know how the dude lost all that. He was just Dick Cheney. He was just like 1,000 pounds, and now he's like a skinny rail. I mean, he's the transformations he always does, and his performances are great. He's over the top a little bit in this one as his character, until you realize that's just the guy, and it's kind of got to be the way the guy is, so the big company can not have faith in him, and then Carroll Shelby's got to get behind him and realize he's the best guy to try and win this race and develop the car and win. For me, the best performance in the whole thing is Tracy Letts. I don't know if you know this actor. I think he's out of Chicago, but he's also a big playwright. He wrote like August Osage County, but he plays Henry Ford II, and he is. It's a huge win. He's this big, commanding presence, and he's kind of half ridiculous because he's not the genius. His dad was the genius. He's the inheritor of the company.
Right.
And so it's interesting to just see him sort of bluster around wanting this and I want that. We got to do this and we got to do that. Kind of a half of a dick, but just a fascinating performance just watching him bluster around the film. I really enjoyed it. So, you know, the performances go a long way to making it great. And again, just taking something that wouldn't sound interesting on paper, and through, you know, great direction by James Mangold, he directed 310 to Yuma and Logan. And he always just has this knack for making broad appeal movies meet excellence.
Got it.
You know, it's not just excellence. Like Moonlight is excellent, but nobody saw it. He can make a movie that's excellent, and yet it has broad appeal that everyone wants to see. And so that's what you find here. And then it beat Charlie's Angels at the box office, and it's making a ton of money. And
what a shock.
And I'm thrilled for that. You know, that like the reboot or, you know, rehashed property.
It's more like a reboot.
Got one-upped by the original story. So I'm thrilled for that. Well done, film goers.
Cool. Very cool. Next movie is Knives Out. What is this one on?
Knives Out, yeah. Oh, man, this is something else. It's from Rian Johnson, who made Looper and Brick, and eventually then got swept up to make Star Wars The Last Jedi. But I'll be fine if he never makes another Star Wars movie, because he's made another original, wholly original film based on something he really loves, which is the old Agatha Christie murder mysteries. So he's got a family gathering after the death of the patriarch. They're all in the big mansion together. He's a famous writer. But then also gathering at the family is this team of detectives who suspect foul play from someone in the family having killed Christopher Plummer's patriarch character. But, you know, you can judge it like this. Do you want to go see Forrest Gump in Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood? Do you want to see Black Panther in 21 Bridges? Or do you want to see James Bond, Captain America, General Zod, and Sonny Crockett in Knives Out? You want the latter. This is a stacked cast.
Oh, my gosh. The cast is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you throw in Jamie Lee Curtis and Christopher Plummer, who I mentioned, and
Tony
Stanfield. Tony Collette. Oh. I mean, yeah, it's wall-to-wall awesome. And they're all totally game to play this big, you know, sort of just sprawling murder mystery adventure. And there is, I mean, it's old-fashioned type storytelling, yet it's hip and funny. It's the cast of the year, all being hilarious, because it's funnier than you'd think. They all, you know, all the characters are, there's plenty of characters in it who are just vile people. Who, like, there's no, like, any one of them could have done it the way the story unfolds. And we've given them real surprises and real motives. And he pulled it off, man. Ryan Johnson did a great job.
Cool.
And he balances it all. You know, it doesn't get too funny to where it's, like, wacky. It doesn't get too murder mystery to where it just becomes sort of thick with, you know, dread and fear. We're still having fun. You know, the police work angle is good. And I love the basically Ford versus Ferrari and Knives Out are two of the best examples of what mainstream Hollywood entertainment can be. Big stars killing it, universally engaging plots. These are total wins. And I love it after, you know, the franchise fatigue, you know, for me, really, right, after the summer. These are two great examples. And hopefully Knives Out can bust. It's not going to beat Frozen 2, but I hope it can still have a great life at the box office and a lot of people can see it, while Frozen 2 probably dominates, you know, for the next coming 3 weeks or so.
We should just let it go.
Let it go. Dolmine is my name. What is this one about? Because this was new to me.
Oh, for real? Do you know the source material? Do you know the movie Dolomite, the blaxploitation film from the 70s?
No.
Oh, then you're going to love this movie. You're okay. For learning as all well right. as entertainment.
Educating me.
Yeah, well, Rudy Ray Moore. Have you heard of Rudy Ray Moore?
Absolutely not.
Oh, my God. Okay, so.
See what you did there.
He's like a cult status figure for this movie, Dolomite.
Okay.
He was a struggling stand-up comic. He one day gets inspired by, like, the drunken ramblings of homeless guys in their neighborhood who are just putting on this machismo that's totally not earned. These are guys, street guys who are just, you know, weird. But he takes it on and becomes this character, Dolomite. Dolomite is my name, and fucking up motherfuckers is my game. You know, like, that's the thing.
Wow.
He takes on this character, and suddenly his stand-up was middling at best, but when he takes on this character, the audience just loves him. Like, oh my God, he's telling these crazy stories about beating the guys up and having sex, and he's like got an ego that's through the roof, and he dresses like a pimp, and he's got a cane and the hat and the whole thing. And like, this is like, and then he starts selling places out and having this amazing tour. Eventually he makes a movie called Dolomite.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Oh, okay. I was ramping up for this, and then okay.
Really built that up.
Yeah.
But that's a total win for the movie Dolomite Is My Name, because we get to see the making of this awful movie. It's kind of like The Disaster Artist, except The Disaster Artist was also great, but fascinating because Tommy Wiseau was so weird. You know, you never knew what the hell the next scene was going to deliver.
Oh, hi, Mark.
He still is weird.
Yeah, hi, I did not. Disaster Artist is great because you really get behind Rudy Ray Moore. Like, he's a guy you can root for. I mean, he wanted this, and he worked for it, and he's trying his best. You know, it's just not good. But that didn't stop him from becoming a huge cult phenomenon. And, you know, he made more films, and he had this career for, you know, despite being awful. You know, it was one of those type things, like The Room, but again, more charming. He's more charming, and of course, who doesn't want to go out to see Eddie Murphy be funny again? He totally nails and has a ton of fun with his character.
Without a donkey.
Now, with the Christmas season, you know, just literally, you know, around the corner from us and everything, I was noticing there's a lot of movies coming out. They're debuting, of course. Some are trying to, I think, aim for the Academy Awards, you know, for next year and everything. But there's two, I think, that are really people are obviously anticipating for. One is a comedy, which is this next Jumanji, and of course the next one is the next Star Wars. How do you think both of these films are really going to do? Because I mean, the Jumanji one, the first one seemed like it did very well in the theaters.
Well, first I'll say that I think we can all agree Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is going to do phenomenally well. It's going to be the only kind of movies you can spend $200 to $300 million to make are Marvel and Star Wars. Now, Solo kind of put a dent in that whole theory because that was the underperformer of them all. So now maybe Star Wars might be, they might not, it seems like they might just go, hey, let's do our TV shows. And then slow down on the movies a little bit. And The Mandalorian seems to, and the popularity of that seems to be proving their case.
Love it.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, listen, J.J. Abrams is now charged with like cleaning up a ton and wrapping up 42 years of movies over 11 films. I mean, that everyone's going to go to see it. Of course, for me, I'm just curious to see how a trilogy ends with an episode that has the word "rise" in the title. Normally, right. I think that's how you start.
And Jumanji, though, it was a big. It seemed like it was a big hit and everything with Dwayne Johnson and everything on this last one. And do you think this one's going to hit just as well, or do you think it's going to be a little bit different?
Well, it won't do just as well because I think it's going to get clipped by Star Wars when that comes out a week later. Mm-hmm. It'll do great. It'll have a huge opening weekend, and it'll have the legs to give us a third one, no doubt. But not as big a legs as before when I think it kind of dominated the whole holiday season.
Right.
Also, the first Jumanji with Dwayne and Jack Black and Kevin Hart was good.
It was. I really
That's
enjoyed it.
That's the thing. I said, we were just lamenting about how Ford versus Ferrari and Knives Out are these original movies. Do we need another franchise? But I got to admit, they took the Jumanji and they wisely updated it to a video game, and they infused all sorts of new and updated jokes and characters and plots. And they didn't really handle the old one outside of references to it.
Right.
It was charmingly good. And you got Danny Glover. No doubt he'll be flustered. He's best when he's flustered. Hey, wait. I love him.
Yeah. The last thing I want to ask you, Paul, is I was noticing Cats has now come out on film. The old Broadway thing from, what's his name, Andrew Lloyd Webber. And then Midway came out. Do you think that these films are going to do any justice to Hollywood? I mean, it's been so long since Cats has been out. It's like, why make a film about it now? And then here you got a remake of Midway from, the old 1970s film of the same name.
Midway didn't sweep the nation, I don't think. I hear it's kind of old school fun, though. It's like it's rah-rah, shoot them up in World War II airplane fights type movie. Uh-huh. But that didn't quite get America all riled up.
And Roland Emmerich hasn't really done any great movies lately. I mean, that second Independence Day he made was a complete disaster.
Terrible.
Ugh.
Yeah, but there is no epic landscape that he can't obliterate.
True.
Yeah. Is that the goal?
The fact that he's attached to this just says to me, who wasn't available? So, but it's an interesting story. I'd like to check it out because, I mean, all the guys who just went through Pearl Harbor and then they go over and fight in Midway. I mean,
yeah. Because, I mean, it just seems like there's so many.
You can make an interesting story.
Because it seems like there's a lot of remakes coming up again now, I mean, and it's been, what, 50 years or so, or almost 50 years since the original Midway movie came out, and my grandfather took me to go see it. So, I mean, I remember seeing Midway with Pat Morita in it and everything, and so to have, another 40 plus year film remade, I'm going, is it time? Does it have reference in this day and age? Why retell a story of that nature type of a thing?
Maybe they thought with war being so cryptic nowadays, like we don't know who we're fighting, we don't know what the goal is half the time. You guys are just in harm's way every day, and I don't and we don't know why. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just see a day when there was like an act against the U.S. that we responded to. You know, maybe that's. Yeah. And but again, America didn't run out. Overwhelmingly, check it out. So
yeah, because I mean, Spielberg's got West Side Story coming out next year, also. You know.
Oh, look, you got
and that's going to be really interesting too.
If you, like the third version of Black Christmas coming out, you've got like the 100th version of Little Women, and really like the second in the last 3 years, I think.
You know? And a new Jane Austen. We have Emma coming out. There's just everything.
I'm going to go see Jumanji. You got it, buddy. No problem.
Wait, that's not...
Well, it has a car in it, I think, so we're okay.
You know, actually, can I ask one question, Paul? What... I'm surprised no one's mentioned this. What about The Irishman? I actually haven't checked it out yet. I know that's there's a lot of buzz going on that.
Well, that's... You know, I forgot to bring this up about Dolomite. Dolomite is a Netflix film, and so is The Irishman, and so is The Two Popes, a big Oscar contender with Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce. So is Marriage Story, the new Noah Baumbach film with Scarlett Johansson. So they're making a play. Man, Netflix really wants an Oscar. I know they want to just shove it in. Like, because they've been shut out of some of these film festivals, and Sundance or Cannes, I think, was booing them because they don't play their films on the big screen. So they're giving these multi... platform releases now to their movies. You can go see The Irishman on the big screen if you want. Mm-hmm. They gave it like 3 weeks in the big screen, and now it's on Netflix and still on the big screen if you want. Of course, if you live in LA, they'll have industry screenings for it till the end of the year, mm-hmm. because of the awards that it's going to no doubt be nominated for. But I haven't seen it yet because I'm holding out for that big screen show, and it just hasn't worked out. It's a 3-hour and 20-minute movie. I got to block out a lot of time.
Yeah. Scorsese.
To go check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I have to, I'll watch it here at home. But listen, coming off this last two, it's Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All righty. Well, again, guys, if you want to listen to Paul's podcast, you can go to themovieguys.net. Check it out. You can find him on Twitter, Instagram, the internet itself, and he has his own podcast there. We do movie reviews and interviews a wide variety of people, directors, actors, producers, you name it. They're on his show, so definitely check Paul out.
Yeah, two quick plugs on that. Speaking of Star Wars, the editor of the original Star Wars, Paul Hirsch.
Oh, yeah.
Won an Oscar. We interviewed him. That's going up this next week.
Ooh.
And, of course, I have an ongoing show called The Countdown to 9, where my friend Sean and I put an episode up every month with a look at one of the movies in the Star Wars universe. One per month. 10 months until the new movie comes out. We got a little behind with all the crazy personal stuff going on.
Right.
But in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be putting out our Force Awakens and Last Jedi episodes right before Rise of Skywalker comes out. So you can go watch those, listen to those, get yourself caught up in all the movies, and have fun with us. We got a bunch of cool guests too who have been in the films. So that's cool. The latest to plug that Star Wars and irrelevant. So there you go.
Alrighty, Cole. Always good to talk to you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right. We'll catch you next month. And in the meantime, you have a good holiday and a wonderful new year, my friend.
Hugs to Karen.
I'll twist my arm. Thank you.
And remember, right. Hugs, not drugs.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, let's catch up real quick with each other, guys.
I want a baby Yoda. Give me that baby Yoda.
We're all sitting here.
We are.
Fat. Plump. Oh, look at that. Look at that white meat right there. That's my favorite white meat.
White meat.
White meat.
Thinly sliced turkey. White meat.
Smoked white meat.
Big, you listen big city.
Amber, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was very good. We had a great time. It was good. My girlfriend cooked dinner for about 30 people. 25 showed up.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's still a big
our
number.
Our kitchen was
a disaster.
And we had it at her cousin's house. So we just, she made like every single side dish. And then her mom and cousin did all the meats. So it was, took me 2 days to clean up. But it was fan-friggin-tastic.
25 people, holy cow.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was fun.
Cool, so just different cousins and family and aunts
cousins,
and uncles.
Cousins, friends. And... Lots of friends were there. Lots of her friends. So
that's awesome.
My kids were there. They were great. They helped. Uh-huh. They helped clean. They helped cook. It was awesome.
What was everybody's favorite dish? Like there was nothing left over of.
Oh my goodness. I there was so much food. Probably my girlfriend's, her stuffing. She made this crazy, amazing stuffing that had like this really good sausage in it and chestnuts. And she used,
like my mom's.
No, she used for breadcrumbs. She used croissants, biscuits, and Hawaiian rolls.
And that's interesting.
And it was all homemade. Everything was from scratch. It was wow.
Okay, I think next year we're going to leave my mom behind. Yeah, we're going over. Yeah. Okay. 25 people, 4 more. We'll
Why
just
not?
Run right
Come
in.
Come on over.
That alarm going off every year, that's getting old.
I'll have to tell you guys about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Zach, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was fine up until yesterday. I was supposed to go with you guys last night, but I didn't want to explain why. Thanksgiving was great. We have this new kitchen. Broke it in. Yesterday, Thanksgiving, it was my mom and I constantly argue with each other because we have an electric stove now.
Oh,
and,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And it's very bipolar, meaning that like you set it to preheat at a certain temperature and it takes an hour to get to it. And then for whatever reasons, if you open the door, let a little heat out to check on the turkey, the temperature decreases on the display.
Yeah.
So we're going like, is this working or is it not?
No, go back to gas, dude. Trust me.
Well, I can't do it now. It's already, everything's already put in. Uh-huh. But my mom said, actually, she's like, okay, from now on, we'll cook the turkey in my house and bring it over, or we'll just cook everything in my house. Mm. But what happened yesterday, that Black Friday has a new meaning to me now. For whatever reason,
by the Black Panther
reason, or? No, I wouldn't be here. The dishwasher, because we have a new dishwasher, backed up. I don't know how, and our kitchen got flooded.
Oh no!
And the I'm not
new.
Done.
The new kitchen.
The new fucking kitchen that has been taking us months to finally get done. The day after Thanksgiving, I don't know. It's getting fixed right now. Plumber is there, but that's not all. Then the toilet decides to overflow. Oh, am I being too loud? Sorry. The toilet decides to overflow.
He's getting excited.
He is. I can really tell.
Because I want you guys to feel my pain.
I don't want to feel anything.
At least the toilet water didn't go to the kitchen. That's all I have to say.
No, it's not even anywhere near it. But it overflowed. We couldn't stop it. And then the toilet flush broke off. So now we can't use this toilet at all except to take the lid off and pull the chain up to flush it if you use it. And so all this happened yesterday afternoon. And I was just like...
connected to the blinds or something.
Yeah, I think connected to the ceiling, put a hook in the old fashioned kind.
No, I'm going to connect a noose to the ceiling and hang myself from it. So, I mean, that's just, I mean, goes
first
with the
world problem, Zach.
Well, I should have knew that this new kitchen that we put so much work into, something bad was going to happen sooner than later. I just think at least I got a funny story to tell the kids one day that I don't
have. Well, let me ask you this. So why change over? Because I'm presuming that the stove prior was gas.
It was.
Okay, why change over to electric?
I don't know. I that must have been a part of the conversation with our contractor that was my grandpa's decision, and I just didn't. I wasn't there for it. I just didn't think anything about it. That's it, really. And by the time we got it, like, oh, it's electric. And I went, oh, boy.
Yeah, when Karen and I were in our first apartment after we got married, we had an electric stove, and I hated it.
Yeah, nothing compares to gas, but there are some good ones.
However,
there are some good ones.
The turkey came out perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Put it in at like 10 o'clock in the morning. It was ready by 3:45. Mm-hmm. And after we got that figured out, it was just a trial and error, and we got it all figured out. Everything was fine. Like, okay, this is not that bad after all. It cooked it perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because, I mean, I grew up with gas. And then just switch over to electric. And just like,
you still have gas.
Good. Oh, and it, well, and now that we're here, you know, in our home, you know, it's like now it's like we walked in when we first bought this house, and because it was a turnkey type of home, and I'm like, oh, gas stove. I'm like, yes, we're buying this house. You know,
that's the only reason.
Yeah, I'm like, gee, many crickets. You know, hot water heater is gas, and you know, I can't cook any other way. You know, how Karen did for 12 years, you know, with electricity, I don't know. I could never cook with an electric stove.
I grew up with electric.
Oh God, I can't stand it.
They were those coils, those awful coils.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad didn't trust my mom with a gas stove.
Really?
And rightfully so. She burned like a dozen kettles. And it's
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Steve? How was your week of Thanksgiving?
Well, what can I say? We had dinner at your mom's house on Thursday, and it was fantastic. Everybody did so much stuff, and I'm just really appreciative to have a family mm-hmm. like that. And I go to and enjoy and relax, and everybody is cool, and we all had a good time, and it was awesome.
Yeah, we had a nice week. I mean, overall, I think it's the most I've seen Steve in a week.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
I like his legs. I like seeing his legs.
You know, because, I mean, after the show last week, we went down to the Coach House Sunday to go see Tyler Hilton and Kate Vogel perform. They did a heck of a job performing. It was really nice. We had some good seats. We were right up to the stage. We were off to the side, though. But they just did a beautiful job. It was a little different show than I saw them on Friday at Hermosa Beach. Because Friday, they both came out together.
Yeah.
And then this time, Kate came out and did about three songs. And then Tyler Hilton came out. They did about, two or three songs yeah. together. And then she left. And Tyler did his set by himself. And then she came back. And then they did another set together. So it was cool. It was really neat. Enjoyed it, funny as hell too, as together.
I keep missing all the fun activities with you guys. I'm sorry.
I know. And then we got to talk to both Kate and Tyler afterwards. It was really nice. And took my son to that too as well, so he enjoyed it. And they got a little bit better on Baby It's Cold Outside, which was kind of funny. Better than they did on Friday night. Because, of course, Kate actually pulled out her phone and was reading the words off or whatever. So,
funny.
But Tyler kind of still had little flubs here and there. But it was fun to watch, though.
Their voices are really cool together.
Oh, God. Their harmonies
really cool.
together is just so, so nice. And I was telling Steve, too, watching them on stage together, it reminded me, and I was telling Tyler this too, it reminded me performing with my friend Anna Marie, because we went out for a year playing her music, basically, and I was just kind of backing her up. And the whole nice thing about it was just the chemistry that her and I had, and just the way Tyler and Kate had the banter, you know, mm-hmm. back and forth, you know, Anna and I had it, and it made me miss it, you know, kind of a thing. So, but it was fun to watch, and so nice to talk to them afterwards. And then, like you said, Thursday, we went over to my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
Good dinner. This year, we did something a little bit different, though, and which you were unaware of until afterwards, mm-hmm. which was that my mom just made the turkey, the ham, the stuffing. Everything else was made by Karen, so we did all the side dishes and stuff.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so it was kind of nice. It kind of let off a little bit of pressure for my mom to do everything,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, there were a lot of crock pots.
Yes, a lot of crock pots. We wanted everything warm this year is what we wanted.
We did chafing dishes.
That's smart, too. I think next year we might do that.
We did the buffet big stuff.
So, well, you got 25 people. We only had, I think,
she eight. Rocked it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We only had eight.
She was cooking for 2 days.
And then, let's see, Friday, what did we do Friday?
Last night. I remember laughing.
Yes.
Lots of laughing.
Lots of laughing.
Lots of laughing.
Yeah, we went up to go see Craig Shoemaker up at Flappers, which was great. And it was nice because Craig walked in and I turned around. I'm like, oh, hey, Craig. He goes, hey, what are you guys doing here? Well, I came to see you. So it was nice to see. And we took my son up also. And that was really nice, too. And good night of laughing overall. So it was we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So. We really, really enjoyed the whole week itself, and here we are today.
Woo! So. On the other side of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Knocking on Christmas door.
Yeah, it went. Yeah, the week went very quick.
Yeah,
it went very, very quick. So, which was kind of nice, and it was so funny too because the last time I went up to Flappers, Zach and I went, and we got a flat tire on the way up, and so I was looking at my tires and everything the other day. And I was noticing that on one of them, the tread started to come through. And I said, oh no. I better get new tires. So yesterday, luckily, I went down to one of these used tires to have the retreads.
Nice.
And $90, baby, for two tires.
Yep.
Put them on. No problem. Yes, I was happy.
New tires.
I was happy with all that. So, yeah. So that was my whole thing. So, and but it was a good week, I think, for all of us. It was a really, really nice week. Yeah. And like I said, I saw Steve, what, Sunday, and then Thursday, Friday, today, 3 days Thursday, in a row today. So I'm just like, good God, man.
You got to have blood in your stool by now.
Oh, my God.
Something, you know. So, but yeah. But it was good. It was a good week. But you know what I think we need right now, though?
What do we need?
A little class.
Some culture. Something that we like to call
pocket-sized cinema.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to pocket-sized cinema. Today's feature is entitled The Explosive Foul. The Explosive Foul. Woo-hoo. Yes. We open. Not yet. We open.
But soon.
Yes, very soon. It's a few lines down.
But soon.
We open. Hopefully soon with this, I can get past this damn line. With a couple. That's right. Bob and Martha. That's right. Who have been married for 15 years. Each and every morning for those 15 years, Bob has woken up, farted loudly and proudly, rolled over onto his back, and got out of bed to go to work. So let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy The Explosive Foul.
One of these days you are gonna fart your guts out.
Oh, what are you talking about, woman? I've been doing this from day one of our honeymoon.
And I still say, one day, you're going to fart your guts out.
Martha is totally fed up with this. And then one Thanksgiving morning, when she got up early to get things ready, she caught an idea. Oh. While preparing for the turkey, before Bob got up, she crept upstairs and placed the turkey innards in his pajama bottoms. A little later that morning, Bob woke up and went through his usual morning ritual with glee.
Oh my God. Oh man.
As Martha heard Bob scream and jump out of bed and run into the bathroom, she laughed to herself once again. Just like that. But when Bob didn't reappear from the bathroom for a long time, she started to get concerned. So she ran upstairs.
Oh, no.
And was just about to knock on the bathroom door when Bob opened it and came out pale as a ghost.
Honey, are you okay?
Oh, baby, you were right. You were right. I did fart my guts out. But by the grace of God and these two fingers, I got them all back up there again.
Delicious.
Oh, what a feeling.
Well done. You got through it.
At least two fingers.
As about much class and culture as person can take.
Two right fingers. Put them right up there with the turkey neck.
Sometimes it's three. You never know.
Some people do a whole fist. You never know.
Absolutely. Oh. But there is the one thing I do know, and that is that, of course, last month we celebrated Steve's 70th birthday.
Are we bringing that up again, for crying out loud?
Well, of course we are. I mean, you know, what better way to celebrate a friend's 70th birthday than by having a stripper?
But how did you find her?
Well, that was pretty easy, because you know what? All Producer Zach did was call the best, hot party strippers. Because their dancers not only do birthdays, but they're ready for bachelor parties, divorce parties, office events, going away parties, retirement, and even holiday parties, and so much more.
Ah, Sicily, how I loved her great big new...
Oh, boy. Whoa. Oh, those, yeah. So how would our listeners contact hot party strippers if they needed their services, guys?
Well, that's easy. All they have to do is go to our website and click on the Hot Party Strippers banner. There you'll meet Sicily, who was on our show and danced for Steve.
Oh, Sicily.
And not only did she dance, but she also showed me her big old new...
Yes, we know, Steve. We know.
After clicking on the banner and meeting Sicily, you can search the website for both female and male strippers to fit your event. Hot Potty Strippers offer the top entertainment and finest strippers to bring your party to the next level. Remember, go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Hot Potty Stripper banner, and when you call them, tell them Steve from Your Weekly Dose says, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Cicely.
She was so sweet.
She was.
So what do we got going?
Well, you know, this week, you know, of course, we just started with the big shopping holiday season and everything with Black Friday. Black Friday was yesterday. A lot of people went out and everything went crazy. But what a lot of people don't realize, too, that this whole weekend, everything is all about shopping. And today is for small businesses. This is a very big thing for them, too. So it is National Small Business Day.
Yay.
So we got some facts for you on that.
Support your local economy.
Yeah.
For me, it's Long Beach. So, small business facts. I have a couple here. I'm going to read them for you guys. So, a small business is defined as an enterprise that has fewer than 500 employees. So, technically, that kid who opens a little lemonade stand on the corner of the summer is a small business owner, right?
True. Yeah, absolutely.
Did Roman ever do that?
No.
No?
No.
No snow cones? No?
No. No, no, never did.
My son did. He had a candy business.
Did he really?
He did. Oh, my gosh. He made like $80 a day. It was magic. That cute little blonde hair everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Pusher. So in order to be subject to federal income taxes, he was a candy pusher.
There you go.
A small business must have an annual business receipt amount of $1,000. So you have to have at least that in your business receipts to be considered a
so
small
in profit then?
Yes. Well,
okay.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was a small business then. Okay.
So, and, okay, this is interesting. I found this out on the internet. And the form of business you have determines what taxes you must pay and how you're going to pay them. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was, like, different styles. So, there are nearly 28 million businesses in America. Small businesses.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yes. And check this out. Of those 28 million, a full 22 million consist of only one employee.
Yeah, I
believe
it.
Which is crazy.
It.
I think that's it. That's a pretty interesting.
Well, no, I mean, if you think about it, too, it's like, let's say a tax preparer or a music teacher or something, like, you know, private lessons, things are privately done. I think a lot of people forget about those businesses
well. So I was just thinking, you know, somebody is self-employed. So over 50% of the 120 million Americans in the workforce work for a small business. That's
wow.
a lot.
That is.
That's pretty good. That's encouraging.
Very
so, and in 2009, a small business filed for bankruptcy every 8 minutes. Now, that's the crash. That's the remember that was like right after the crash. So this is my other favorite fact. I'll end with so the fastest growing sector in the world of small business includes auto repair, dry cleaners,
really,
and beauty salons.
Those are the fastest growing.
Oh, that's right. He owned a dry cleaner supply. That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Successful.
So I thought restaurants. I would have thought of, you know, a restaurant. Would have been.
Restaurants are so hard.
Oh, yeah. They're a fast turnover. They're pretty fast.
Yeah, they're very, very fast.
Low profit margin, high stress.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Small businesses, I mean, they do take up a large portion. I think people forget about that.
Yeah.
You know, a large portion of the economy, and there's so much out there. That you can benefit from the small businesses.
Absolutely.
You know.
But let's just keep giving to Jeff Bezos. Why not?
To who?
Jeff Bezos.
Who's Jeff Bezos?
He is the owner of Amazon.
Oh.
Multi-quadrillion trillion billionaire.
Yeah.
But we all profit.
That's a big story.
Okay.
Him and his distribution centers and what really goes on, what they advertise. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this, though, since we're talking about shopping and everything now. Holiday shopping, how much has it changed for you guys through the years?
Huge.
Overall? How so? And I mean, obviously the internet has had a big play in it, though, but but I mean, just even just buying for people, has that changed? Or how, not necessarily how you buy, but what you buy?
Well,
I feel like I can narrow in more with the internet because everybody's so specific, and I hate going and wandering around a damn store and trying to like guess. Is someone going to like this? It's so stressful.
Yeah,
so the internet, I'm just like, ding-a-ding-a-ding, boom, done. One kid likes art, one kid likes video games and cosplay, boom, done.
Got it.
Ding-a-ding-a-ding, huh?
They dress in the same clothes, we're good.
What about you, Steve?
Well, we kind of talked about this on our little drive up to see Craig, but when I was a kid, Christmas was so, yeah. It was so much people getting together and doing things and going to different things together and stuff. And
activities.
Yeah, one of the big ones was shopping. You know, you get the family together and you'd all go to downtown L.A. and walk around, see all the windows and decorated and stuff. And it was just amazing. I told you the Sears building in downtown L.A. would put an actual carnival in their basement.
Right, right.
So it was like very communal, very family, very people getting together. As the years of, pass, there's more places to go shopping.
A lot more.
You know, and the mall grew out of the need for there to be more places, and then it would be covered in places where there's bad weather. And so we get the shopping malls, and now everybody would go to the shopping malls, and you just still, it can be a good experience, and everything's in one place. Well, with the advent of the internet and the way we do things now, a lot of people don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like Facebook and like other places on the internet you go to. It's less personal.
Yeah.
Less family oriented. You kind of have to do that at home if you can, because everybody's on the phone playing games or you're doing stuff, and it's a little harder to get a family thing or a group thing together. So I think that's how it's changed now. People used to go out and make it a thing, an event, when shopping, but then
totally agree with you.
It became cumbersome and so many people and everything, and now you can just do it at home and it's not an event.
I think the fact that it's become stressful, where before I don't think it was a stressful thing, and somehow I think with the commercial marketing of the way things are over the years, it's become stressful. And I think part of it too is that let's say, like my mom, she's 80, 81, she has got everything. What the hell do you buy her now?
That's the conundrum.
That's right.
Cookie?
And it goes in reverse too. What does she get her son who's got everything, kind of a thing? And
gift cards.
Actually, there's one more guitar I want to get, Mom. But it's not that much either.
I'm sure he has
there
not talked
is.
About that at all.
Not that much.
Oh,
not
is that
much.
The one I'm supposed to get?
Double
yeah,
neck.
Go in halves with my mom.
The double neck. Double
yeah.
neck.
All right. Okay.
It's Chinese made, so it's way cheap.
I won't be able to speak it.
It was tough to buy for me. But at the same token, it was very easy to buy for me. Because it's like, I have my hobbies. Mm-hmm. Get me something for that.
Exactly.
Zach's got me a couple of things. I think got me the Kylo Ren doll, and stuff. And
that was a birthday.
A birthday, yeah. But I'm easy to buy for.
Me
and
too.
The Mark
just,
and Brian.
Just give me
thing.
Some golf balls. I'm happy.
Golf balls.
I'll give you some balls.
Oh, a bunch God, of, I didn't yeah. say that kind of balls.
A bunch of multicolored picks.
Oh,
yeah. with the hobbies, because I'm into model trains, and stuff, whatever. Almost anything Batman, if you go into Roman's room, 90% of the stuff in there is actually mine.
Oh.
I love the different Hot Wheels, the different Batmobile Hot Wheels, and stuff. So the family knows I'm pretty easy to buy for.
Sean's just a big kid.
I am. I'm
he
a huge kid.
He just wants toys from the 70s and 80s, and he's a happy man.
Well,
kid.
I don't know, because some of those were pretty dangerous,
And you know what? That's actually...
Hey, Sean, have some jarts.
Oh, God, yeah. Exactly.
That's funny you said that. Sean's a big kid and just kind of capturing, the old stuff. I actually... eBay's been kind of, my new thing.
Oh, I love last, eBay.
eBay is, the original Amazon.
eBay
was there before Amazon.
Resurgence, I think.
They are.
I've been back on there a lot.
There's so many cool things you could find if you just look. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think I've mentioned this. If I did, I'm sorry. But I'm trying to rebuild my old little, Super Nintendo setup.
Oh,
I remember I was telling you about that, Amber.
You're also a big kid. I forgot.
Yeah, so I found, a 1983 Zenith TV for, $80 on eBay. Just plug it in, and I'm going to get, I got an old Super Nintendo for $15. A couple games to go with it. And I'm just going to have a little setup and all that, and that's what I'm going to do. I want that retro.
Man cave.
I want that retro video
Boy
game
cave.
Playing.
Boy cave.
Yeah.
Boy cave.
Yeah. So. But for me, I agree with you, Steve. The shopping experience has just changed. because I don't know if you remember or not, years ago there used to be a store called Henshaw's.
I didn't remember Henshaw's.
Okay. There was one in downtown L.A., mm-hmm. and then there was another one in Whittier.
In where?
Whittier. In Whittier.
Whittier.
So I can't reach the other two of you. The only one I could reach was Zach.
Whipped cream.
He's our whipping boy.
Yeah. And the thing that I liked about Henshaw's, you know, it was its own independent department store. Mm-hmm. But down below in their basement, they would set up a certain section.
Sex dungeon?
No.
Oh, okay.
God, I wish.
I was going to say.
I was down there. Mom, can I go shopping again?
go to your room.
But they set up a certain section where they would get little knickknacks and trinkets or whatever. Mm-hmm. No parents were allowed in there.
Oh, this could go
south. It was only for kids.
They were priests?
No.
Okay.
No, they were
thinking the same thing.
They were Mormon. no, but they said this thing, different kind of trinkets, like statues, frames, keychains. I mean, just trinkets kind of things. And the parents were not allowed to go in, and only the kids could shop in there. Nothing was over like $15, you know. So you can the kid however much money, yeah. You know. Here's $40. Get something for mom and dad or whatever.
That's cute.
There isn't anything like that anymore.
Well, when I grew up, we did that at school. So we'd have like this thing called the Santa store. So mm-hmm. it was like elementary and junior high, and they would set up in a classroom of like
with
a little
priest?
Fake shop. Yes, exactly. The priest and the, you know, the confessional. Never mind. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, each class would take turns with like, you know, $1, $20, whatever a kid could have, you know, whatever he got, and go shop for their parents and wrap it and stuff. It was like a whole thing.
And that's what Henshaw's did. And I mean, it was really cool. And I miss those kind of things. And there isn't like anything like that anymore. Now, granted, you can jump on the internet and go, the gifts for dad and, you know, whatever. But it's like, you know, Craig Shoemaker was talking about last night where, you know, it's like, you know, you shop for the woman, you know. Diamonds are a woman's best friend.
Well, that's not true.
You know, and go out and get her this and get this expensive things, whatever. And
buy these murder diamonds.
What does dad get? You know,
tie.
A radio that you can listen to in the shower and shave at the same time.
A flask.
You know,
with golf balls on it.
You know, it's like, okay.
That's
a thing. But I think the internet has made it obviously easier. Obviously, we don't deal with the crowds.
Weirder.
But at the same token, though, it has made it easy to find certain things that you don't
find
in the store itself. Though.
My daughter's really into crafts. Like my girlfriend is too. My girlfriend's an insanely and talented artist, but my daughter is really into everything too. So is my son's getting into it. But I can finite find anything that she wants. Like there's a certain color felt or pens or paints. I can just, it's hard to find in a craft store. You're wandering around, you're looking, they don't have it in stock. Amazon, eBay, boom. Mm-hmm. Easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so true.
She wanted these like crazy, so she does this needle felting thing she's really into. She makes these adorable little creatures that she just imagines up. And I had to buy her this very specific piece of foam for her to do the needle felting on. And it was normally, like, I think it was like $20 in the store. Mm-hmm. And they're out of them all the time. I ordered off Amazon, like $2. Free shipping.
Yeah.
Boom, done.
Yeah.
You can shop in bed in your underwear on the toilet.
Or at the same time.
eBay, Amazon.
Yeah. Both of them have, I think, made it a little bit easier. eBay's made it things to where if you want to find something retro or something
like me
that's out of that's out of print or whatever, out of production anymore, you kinda go there. Mm-hmm. Where Amazon, you know, it's like you have to find something specific that you can't find at Target or whatever, you know. Clothes, I still like to go out shopping and to the stores and to the malls to find a sweater or a hat or glove. Yeah, I still enjoy doing that kind of a thing, too. And knowing that, you get a little bit of a mixture of the both, and you go, okay, I'm done, I'm good. And
I'm shopping satiated.
Yeah. So, yeah, shopping has definitely changed over the years. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, today we're going to start off with a Mark and Brian tradition. And I know Amber has not heard of this.
You mentioned it briefly at our meeting.
I did. Now, this is a tradition that goes back many, many, many years.
many moons.
Years and years ago.
So, and what you have to understand with this, this was done by Disney. So Disney decided to kind of create the sound effects kind of a thing of what is the dropping of the Yule log. You know? And as we're going to listen to this, I mean, they were serious, but this was on a record. Mm-hmm. You know, it had the Disney label on it, and the castle.
Yeah, my grandma had that. Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, you had to take these things seriously.
Yeah.
Well, it was simpler times.
Very simpler times, you know. So today, we begin, since we're now starting into our festive Christmas mode here on our show, continuing the tradition of Mark and Brian's The Dropping of the Yule Log.
Christmas Eve is probably the most exciting night of the year for children everywhere. At our house, the ritual is always the same. Mom hurries dinner out of the way so that the festivities can begin. First, I lay a fire in the fireplace. I pride myself on the way I lay a fire. To begin, I crinkle newspaper to put under the grate. Then I put in the kindling, breaking the sticks into the proper lengths. Then I bring in the Yule log and put it in the grate.
That's the biggest log we've ever had, Dad.
Yeah, and the heaviest, too.
And there you go.
Baptized by the log. I feel special.
You should.
Boy, was I missing out.
Oh my God, I love that.
Steve had to like cover, he had to put his face into his elbow crease.
While Sean
like,
was describing it, Steve's cracking up. Oh my
God, that's just perfect. Perfect.
It's so sentimental and so many feelings, and then it's just like,
dropping of the log.
Yes. Yeah. So it is now official here on Your Weekly Dose that Christmas has now begun.
Yay.
Go out and do your shopping and everything. Of course, we got Cyber Monday coming up in a couple of days, too. So, but until then, we got What's News?
What's News, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's News, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, this is interesting. Police, Texas cops surround a house. But they get a huge surprise, apparently. Police surrounded a house in eastern Texas because they thought they had a burglary in progress. Well, they found something else. The homeowner called Lufkin police early Thursday after she heard glass breaking. The woman hid in a closet and realized she had left her weapon in the kitchen. Well, officers weren't really worried because it could end up in the hands of the suspect. And they arrived and found a window broken. They heard something. They thought someone was moving inside, so they called in for assistance. So once the police got into the house, they shouted, you know, let me see your hands. And the police say that the officers around a corner came in face to face with one very frightened deer.
Oh, dear.
Yes. It was a nice little doe. Yeah, the police body cam showed a terrified creature racing around for an exit, breaking furniture and windows. The officer shouted that it's a deer. It's a deer. Thank you.
Oh, dear.
They used chairs to help shoo the deer out the front door. The only injuries to the officers or the deer were minor cuts from the glass. So that was their Thanksgiving feast there as they got surprised later on the night by a deer breaking into their house.
Wish well, there was a deer sound effect.
They may be, I think it's a sheep.
I'm a sheep, that's a deer.
So, okay.
Bird.
So, I've got an interesting one. Loose bat causes a scene on the New York subway train. So, passengers of the New York subway train were shocked to encounter an unusual fellow strap hanger, a loose bat. So I just looked the video up, and I would like to say this. I looked the video up and just watched it, but the first thing that came up was a man in a Batman costume running around the subway.
Loose bat, yeah, hey.
Pretty funny. So a video captured aboard the F train. Oh, thanks for that. That's wonderful. F-Train by commuter Jonathan Christopher shows the flying mammal dodging passengers who attempted to guide it out of their subway car. That's sweet.
Yeah, and love. You want to go that way.
They save a bat, but they're like a rat. They're like, stomp. Screw the rats.
There you go.
Oh, well, okay. 34-year-old Pepperdine University professor Alicia Jessup had a thing she was doing, and she had visited all the United States except for the last seven, which were up New England, up in the
New England
Northeast.
States, okay. Yeah.
So she wanted to, she went to Fox's Lobster House in York, Maine. And what she did was she just wanted to get a picture of her doing something in Maine, so she decided to take a picture of eating a lobster roll sandwich, whatever.
Okay.
It is.
Mm, yeah, that sounds good.
So she sat there getting ready to take the picture. It cost her $20 for the lobster roll and everything. So
for
one? She wanted to get it right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So she was taking a little bit of time and setting up the right shot, turning the sandwich different ways. Finally, just as you were about to take it, a seagull decided to try to get her sandwich. So as she took the picture, the seagull was grabbing at the sandwich and caught it perfectly and stuff. And she was like all upset, like, oh, no, I've just wasted $21.50
to
take a picture and stuff.
Mine?
What she
Mine?
Didn't
Mine?
Realize what... What she didn't realize was going to happen was that she posted the picture and it went viral.
Of course it did.
And now she gets free lobster rolls everywhere she goes.
So you never know. You know, you're minding your own business and eating a little lobster and a seagull makes you famous.
There you go.
Yeah, don't get your phone out and you won't lose your sandwich.
Exactly.
Sandwich.
Focus on the food.
And that's what's news, guys.
What's news, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's news, pussycat? Whoa.
Let's play the game.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for that game show that's becoming famous in Nome, Alaska. Quiz me. Quiz you.
You.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody get that out of their system.
Are we getting to... Wait, one more.
Get your
Yule
log out, Steve.
Yes.
That does,
wow.
Hold on. There's a dingleberry in there.
That's right.
Oh, that was...
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you. Yeah,
you feel better? This is a grown-up show.
Tootin' Tillman, eat your heart out.
Thank God we go high, bro.
Thank God we have a game show host. Question number one.
When they go low, we go lower.
Okay, we're going to do something a little different this time. Okay. We're going to have some questions that are multiple choice.
Oh.
So, for this one, how many Earths could fit inside the sun? Is it A, 3?
No.
B, that's not it.
1,300, or C, 1.3 million?
C, Amber. Amber.
I'll accept. Amber?
C, Amber. Camber. No?
That is correct.
C. Amber.
I was so eager for that one.
1.3 million.
So excited.
I know.
Wow.
It says, the sun is not just a lot bigger than planet Earth. It is absolutely dwarfs us. In fact, 1,300,000 Earths could fit inside the sun, according to NASA. So there you go.
Wow.
Question number two. Oh. Wow, that was underwhelming.
There it is.
Where... were the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and
Steve.
The Bill of Rights... Steve?
Philadelphia in the
17...
That building there in Philadelphia. I visited once, and they have the desks, and that's the...
So far, I've gotten like a dozen answers, but none of them are right.
Showing
oh. At the bottom.
That's really worse. Sean?
Sean.
Independence Hall?
No, I will give you a hint. It's an army post in the South.
An army post in the South.
That's right.
Wow, really? I should know this.
Oh, my God.
I feel like it's right there.
With the Declaration of Independence. What else?
The Declaration of Declaration of Independence.
Do be me?
Yeah, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I didn't get to finish the question. They were stored during World War II.
Oh, stored
during World War II.
I didn't get to finish it.
Not signed. Okay, so
Steve.
Steve jumped the gun.
Fort Knox.
There you go.
Oh. See, that's as tight as Fort Knox. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty damn tight.
Wow, that's disturbing. Question number three.
Remember the movie Goldfinger, James Bond, with James, Sean Connery and Goldfinger? Yes. They tried to rob Fort Knox.
But of course you are, darling. Okay. Right. I was actually watching Casino Royale last night. How many of the speeches in Shakespeare's plays are recited by women? It's either A, 33%, B, 17%. Or C, 52%.
Amber.
Sean.
I'd have to say B.
Amber, you are correct.
It is.
He was slightly misogynistic.
Yeah, slightly. Yeah.
Oh, was it my voice? Really?
Men are very important.
Yeah, question number four.
Don't know for what, but...
All right, this should be pretty easy. Which country consumes the most chocolate per capita?
Sean. The United States.
Really? Even per capita?
Per capita, yeah. That's incorrect. No.
Chocolate.
Wow.
Steve. Bavaria.
Hint. Favarger chocolates are from here.
Amber. Belgium? No?
You're close. You're in the vicinity.
What's the name of the chocolate?
Must be...
Favarger.
Oh, okay. So that's Amber.
Amber.
Germany?
Yeah.
Dang it. Austin. Okay,
north. Go more north.
Sean. Alaska.
No, that's...
I don't think that's more north.
The answer is Switzerland.
Oh, Swiss chocolate. See, I think you're pronouncing that city wrong. That's why.
Ricola.
Your why. Question number five.
Heidi, come back.
Go away.
In which country was the largest known Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton found?
Which country?
Yeah, and if I give you the hint, it's just going to give it away. So just think. It's a big one. It's a big country. United States size.
Steve. Australia.
Good guess, though. A lot of things. Not dinosaurs in Australia.
Sean. Canada?
That is correct.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, Canada.
That's right, eh?
Oh, sorry.
And sorry. I'm sorry, we're not done yet, but we're on question six. And the button to work.
Only six.
Only six, eh?
What is a duel between three people called? And the hint, it's exactly what you think it is.
Sean? A menage a trois?
Oh, dear. Amber? Not a duel.
Steve?
Oh. Oh, he preemptively oomphed you.
A duel.
Time's run out. The answer is a truel.
A truel.
I feel like a troll for reading that question.
Oh,
number
my seven. God.
Which two U.S. states don't observe daylight savings time?
Sean. Arizona. And Hawaii.
That's correct.
Nice.
I must ask, how do you know that so willingly?
And my
I've
house.
I've been to both of them.
Oh, all right. Well, I've never been to question number eight.
Neither have we.
All right, this one should be for Steve. What was the first toy?
Oh, dear.
A rock.
To be advertised.
Oh, Sean.
Sean.
Mr. Potato Head.
Damn, that is right.
Wow.
We had that question a couple of times before.
Wow, I love that.
Well, we've talked about it, too.
Yeah.
This hint couldn't have been more obvious. It involves a vegetable. Pretty easy.
Mr. Rutabaga Head.
Mr. Rutabaga.
And Mr. Number 9. After Antarctica, what is the most sparsely populated continent?
Sean.
Sean. It was actually said by one of you earlier.
Greenland?
That was not said by anybody.
Sparsely populated continent. So you said continent?
Yes.
That's people for like square foot or something. Square. Mm-hmm.
Amber.
Amber.
I'm just going to go for a while. We didn't say this, but Australia, I was going to guess.
That is right.
Hey!
There you go.
Well, everybody lives in the border in these like very specific areas. There's no.
I love
the
hint.
The
it's nothing known. It's known for its wacky yet seriously adorable animals. Question number 10.
Like a spider that can kill you.
It's known for its alcoholics.
Mm-hmm. No, that's Alaska, but that's actually not a country, so. What is the smallest bone in the human body?
Sean.
Sean.
Ear.
Ear bones? No?
Yeah, smallest bones. There's a bone
there's
in the ear.
Them. There's a ton of them. There's like several, a whole cluster of them.
Yeah.
Okay, that should be right. It has a name.
The hint, it's located above the neck.
Oh, jeez.
Well, the ear bone, yeah.
No. Oh, the ear bone connected to the
ear
spine
bones,
bone.
Plural. Let's see. I don't know this one.
We've had this question before, too, but nobody remembers it.
This is a different answer. That's why I kind of wanted to play it, because I thought maybe this would intrigue our audience intellectually.
Smallest bone.
Do you realize who our audience is?
Probably someone jerking off in a room somewhere.
I'm going to cheat. Look at the answer. I can't even read that far.
I don't know. The answer is the stapes.
The stapes? What?
That's what it says.
The stapes. You know what? That's probably the ear bones.
Yeah, well.
Look it up real quick. See what
I'm
it is.
Looking it up. Oh, that was on this.
She's on it like white on rice.
The stapes bone. Hang on, Google. Ah! The stapes are the ear bones. It's a small cluster of bones in the ear.
Well, then your host is a dingleberry and deserves to be removed from this game.
I think he needs
a... bones in the middle ear.
So I got it right.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, the ear bone, yeah.
Bones, plural. There's three of them. Stapes.
There you go.
Yeah,
the smallest bones in the body.
So little bitty tiny. Baby Yoda.
We were supposed to get a big winter storm for the whole weekend, and I think it came in sections, though, which wasn't too bad. But we still might get some more rain. If we do, please be careful out there. And... because the roads will still definitely be wet and everything, so we want to be careful. Get new tires if you need new tires like me. So that's the most important thing.
I need the number of that place.
Yeah. Let's see. Show's information is website, yourweeklydose.com, Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose, Twitter, and Instagram, at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You can follow me, Steve, at SilvaLining69 on Twitter, and for Facebook, just Steve Silva.
SilvaLining69. You can find me at Amber Ash McCary. Just wherever, I guess.
You can creep up on me on Instagram at Zombie Mel Gibson.
Yeah, and if you want to follow me, Sean, I mean, it's simple for everybody. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's simply Sean Roberts HC. And just to let you guys know, we got some news coming up for you on some dates that I will be performing at come January.
Woo-hoo!
So, yeah, starting to schedule those out right now for you guys. So, in the meantime, go out, enjoy, do some shopping, and not just in front of your computer, but get out there.
Visit people you love.
Exactly. So, and go out and have a good one. We'll catch you guys next week and be good to each other.
Goodbye, world.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.